Last night, we had a great time at IAB's Idol. We were able to meet two guests from the Schomburg Hoffman Estates Lions Club, one of our gold level convention sponsors. Thank you to the Schomburg Hoffman Estates Lions Club. Getting some feedback here. We also want to show some love for Democracy Live. They will be presenting in the afternoon session to talk about the accessible electronic ballot. They are also a gold level sponsor. We thank Democracy Live and the Schomburg Hoffman Estates Lions Club for their generous donations for this year's convention. All right. Are there any other announcements before I move into other items on the agenda? All right, hearing none.
Oh, yes, there is.
You need a microphone? Already? For me?
Yes.
For me, she's wonderful.
No, I didn't say it for you, for sure.
Well, I said for me, and you said yes.
So, I said no.
It's lack of sleep. Okay. All right, whatever.
So, but I have an awful, we got an awful good one. I have to get used to we. You guys help me with this, with her and I. It's got to be we now, okay? We have this wonderful $50 cash from
all
Pam
right.
Gilmore. That's what we have here. And my wonderful co-chair, Teresa Fabry, is going to draw the name. We're waiting. Oh, I don't think he's here, but Patrick Olson?
No.
Okay, draw again.
I'm attending online. Does virtual attendance count?
Yes?
Again? Laura Garvey?
Not here.
Oh.
Not here.
Again. So yeah, we're ready to move our email.
I'm here.
Let's try it one more time and then we're gonna move on and
Patrick Olson is on the virtual. Does that count?
Francisco Chang.
Francisco. Are you in the room, Francisco?
Is it a tip-tap or something? Or is it that?
Yeah, I would imagine he's running around.
Running around doing something.
Yeah.
Should we give it to him, gang?
Yeah. We'll hold it for him, yeah.
Yeah, we'll hold it for him.
Okay. All right. All right, door prize table. Whenever you're ready, just holler out for more door prizes. Let me know.
Don't worry about it.
All right. The lovely Mary Lou Grunewald and Teresa Fabre, your door prize co-chairs. All right. If everyone who is able to stand would stand, we are going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Imagine there's a flag off to your right-hand side. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now turn to your left for the National Federation of the Blind pledge. I pledge to participate actively in the efforts of the National Federation of the Blind to achieve equality, opportunity, and security for the blind, to support the policies and program of the Federation and to abide by its constitution. All right, thank you. For our new convention attendees, that is our pledge. That is our recommitment to our organization You can access it at our website, www.nfbofillinois.org, nfb.org. All right. If you're not already seated, you can go ahead and take a seat. One more logistical thing that I forgot. Our registration table wants me to remind you, when we adjourn tomorrow, please leave your name tags at the registration table, which is outside of the door and to the left. So when you walk out of the door to my left, then there's a registration table to the left of that door. So drop off those name tags. When we adjourn tomorrow, we do recycle them. All right. We want to take a moment of silence for those members who we have lost in the last 12 months since we met together. Nadia Sherman, taken away from us way too soon. And Edwin Rodriguez, also taken away from us too soon. A moment of silence, please. Thank you, everyone. We will start with our national report from our national representative, who you all met earlier at breakfast, Mr. Adelmo Vigil. And Adelmo is making his way to the podium.
Taking off my mask while I speak, so I can breathe. Greetings, fellow Federationists. Good morning, and I am happy to be here. First of all, my wife and I want to thank Madam President and all of you for your hospitality. It has been great. You have pushed me to a new challenge. I've never had to be judge of anything. And last night I told Elizabeth, I said, this puts me out of my comfort zone. But it was fun, it was something different, and I want to thank you all for doing this. Every time we go to a convention, we learn something. The National Federation of the Blind knows that blindness is a characteristic that does not define us. Every day we raise expectations because we know that low expectations create obstacles between us and our sighted peers. Today, as I go through this report, you're going to find that the National Federation of the Blind is very busy. We are active all the time. And as we go through some of these things, you will be, I'll just skim through some of them because I know that there's some presentations later. I'll just mention those. But I want to bring greetings from President Rick Abono. Our president is one person that we all, that I love as a person. I remember the first time that I really got to meet him was when we went to the leadership seminar back in 2016. And later we had the opportunity to have him be our national rep in New Mexico. And I felt very comfortable with him. And the reason I felt comfortable with him is because I know that he will listen to us. I felt comfortable with him because I know that I can pick up the phone and call him. But it's not just me. It's all of us can do that. Every day, if something comes up, and you need President Riccobono's support, he will answer the call. Or you can email him. And he welcomes it. And I want us to think about that. And if we need something, don't hesitate to call him or email him. I believe pretty much everybody knows the number, but it's 410-659-9314. All right. See, so I know I don't have to repeat it the rest of the morning, right? How about his email address? Does anybody know his email address? Office of the President at nfb.org. Okay. The reason I believe in the National Federation of the Blind is because it has changed my life. As I mentioned earlier, back in 1984 was my first experience with the Federation. And I never realized how many of us were out there. And when we attended that first convention, I realized that there was a lot of people, a lot of us that have the same belief and the same expectations for ourselves. And so today, I am proud to be an NFB member and proud to say that I believe in the NFB and that I will continue to serve the NFB as much as possible. But more important than me, we need you. The National Federation of the Blind needs all of us so that we can continue to grow the National Federation of the Blind. I'm a member of the National Board. I've served as president of the affiliate. But the most important place for me is being a member. That's a high point. That is what I believe in. And I can do just as much as a member as I can as a president or a board member or any of these. I want us to look at how many of you, did anyone, I don't think anybody from Illinois was at the national convention. I really don't remember hearing anybody what? There. What? Yeah, I don't. Oh, wait a minute. Were you? Okay, well.
What?
Oh, that's true.
I beg your pardon, Mr. National Representative.
Wasn't that a great convention? It was our first back in-person convention, and that was one of the most exciting conventions. And, you know, we missed being together, and all of us were there. And when we came out of that convention, we all came back energized and ready to continue working for the National Federation of the Blind. Of course, I'm sure all of you have seen all of the articles and everything that came out on our Braille monitor. But more important than that is, does anybody know where our next convention is going to be?
Houston!
Where?
Houston!
I didn't hear that.
Houston.
Okay. I'm a little hard of hearing today. I don't know. Yeah. But yes. And does anyone know what dates that's going to be?
July 1st through the 6th, 2023
in Houston. How many of you are planning to be there? Well, I'll plan to see you guys there because every time that my wife and I visit an affiliate, we love to go meet the people that we met during our state conventions. And so that's exactly why we like to go to the national convention and be part of a great organization. My machine is. Okay. So now I'm going to move forward. You know, when you look at some of the things that the NFB has done in the past probably 15 years or so, we have committed a lot of resources, a lot of energy for STEM. We have enjoyed, and many people have opportunities to work in the field of STEM because of the National Federation of the Blind. Because before that, blind people might not have that opportunity. And today we do. Now, the other thing we're doing is we're reaching out to states. If any state is interested in having a STEM program in your affiliate, all you have to do is contact Karen Anderson. And at the number, again, is 410-659-9314, and then I don't remember her extension, to be honest with you. But it's kanderson@nfb.org. And you're president would be the one to do that, but if you guys are interested in having a STEM program in your state, there is training available for us, and I think that is something that we need to continue to build around the country. This past October, I know that it's pretty much passed. I mean, we only have, what, one more day left. But did anybody have any type of activities here in Illinois regarding the blindness equality achievement? No? What's that? No? I guess not. So, Marilyn, you guys didn't have nothing?
We had the Chicago Chapter Readathon.
Okay. Dave was saying Chicago Chapter Readathon.
Okay, well, I just wondered. You know, usually all of us throughout the country, we try to celebrate and during that time, and that is something that we want to continue. The other project that we have is a big one. That is our museum. What will this museum do, and where is it? It is at our, will be housed at our National Center in Baltimore. And what for? What is the purpose for it? It is for us to be able to look back and see how far we've come to this day. We can see the history of all affiliates. I don't know when this affiliate was first started. 1968? Well, New Mexico was in 1956. Now, and that's exactly what we want, to be able to share that information with everybody and that you can go and get that. Not only are we looking at having a museum housed in Baltimore, but to be able to have educational programs coming from there, to have, you know, parts of that, those projects come out to our states so that we can share our history. Because too many people don't know where we've come from. Too many people don't realize how much our leaders have really suffered and gone through to be able to get that. So when you look at that, I want us to think about, I don't know if you have a historian here in the state of Illinois.
Over here.
Oh, we do.
Sarah, that way.
All right. And so her job is going to be to gather all the information for Illinois that should go in the museum and share with our staff at our National Center what does Illinois want there from your state. So I appreciate you guys working on that and getting this done. At the beginning of every month, we also have the what? Does anybody know? Presidential release. We have our presidential release, and that is going to be on November 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, you can listen to it online. You can listen to it afterward. But if you have the opportunity to join, you know, live when President Rico Bono is doing presidential release, you will really enjoy that. If you have questions that you want him to answer during that time, of course, you're welcome to email those to Chris. Yeah, well, to Chris Danielson, cdanielson@nfb.org. Okay. If you have any questions, you email those directly to him, and President Rico Bono will try to answer, get to most of those questions that people have for us. Our partners, the American Action Fund. Do we have anyone here who reads in Spanish, Braille, in Yay! Spanish? All right, we have one. Do we have anybody else that knows someone who might want books in Spanish?
Yes.
Okay. If you can contact our American Action, our partners in American Action Fund, we can get some of those books to the adults or children who might need Spanish books. And, of course, they're free, and all we need to do is get them in contact, and we can get as much as information as we can to them. I'm excited because for too long we have not had materials in Spanish as much as recently. You know, I mean, now probably the last 6 years or so, we've really been working on that. But now to be able to provide those books in Spanish, I think it's a great opportunity for people out there who enjoy reading in Spanish. I will tell you that I speak Spanish, I understand it, but I probably need to get some of those books so I can practice the Spanish to reading it. That is one of the challenges that I have, is reading Spanish. Memberships. I mentioned earlier about membership and the importance of every member in each affiliate. And if it wasn't for you who are here present, the members of the Illinois affiliate, we would not have a convention. But because you are here, we can have this. However, though, there are ways that we can enlarge and increase the memberships in our states. We have our calls for those individuals who quarterly, who are not, who might say, well, you know, I've heard about the NFB. Many of us had those doubts when we first came to the NFB, and we weren't sure if we wanted to join. Well, now we have the quarterly phone calls where you can refer someone, and they can ask for the information, and the web or the, you know, the Zoom information will be sent to them so they can participate in that particular meeting. And members of the Federation will be able to answer or be glad to answer questions that people might have. It doesn't work for all of us here because we're already members, but those of you who are not, you can do that. And so make sure that if you know someone who is on the fence, really thinking about it, and but not sure, that you do that, that you refer them to our national office. And that you can get that information by going to membership@nfb.org. The other thing about membership is the onboarding process. New members, any new member that you have that comes to your affiliate, to your chapter, there's a process that we must follow, and it's outlined in our membership, on our website, on our membership. And we must make sure that we go through that process so people understand what exactly they're signing up for and that they are, you know, comfortable with what we're asking. We can get information to them, but the most important thing is we have to do it outside. Our office in Baltimore cannot develop those relationships with everyone here in Illinois or in New Mexico. We need every member to cultivate that. We also have our membership calls once a month. That's for local presidents, chapter presidents, and affiliate presidents, and membership membership leaders. And again, we ask, if you don't have that number, I think you know who to call here in Illinois. I think Denise might have something to do with that. So contact and or say, you know what, I'm not getting the information, but I need to. And so that way we can make sure that we get all of that. The local chapters are really what makes the National Federation of the Blind a strong organization. And it's, again, our members. If you're having meetings, there's radio and TV, public announcements that you can get. And you can download those from our website and share those with local radio stations to talk about the NFB and educate the public. Because how many people do you guys believe that everyone who is blind is here today? In Illinois? Of course not. It would be a small group, right? There's a lot of people, blind individuals who are out there. And they need our organization and they need to hear from us. So I think that's something that we really need to look at and use those credentials. PSAs, so we can invite people to come. We also embrace our diversity, DEI, diversity, equality. And what's the last one?
Equity.
And inclusion. See, I'm just trying to include you guys. So that's why it's diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for us? What it should mean is that we invite everyone who is blind, who needs the National Federation of the Blind to be members, to come and join us, to come and be part of us. It doesn't matter who or what their beliefs are or what they think, how they think. The important thing is, let's talk to them about blindness. Let's talk to them about what the National Federation of the Blind does. And we want to encourage everyone. And if you have questions or anything, again, you can email the national office and ask those questions, because sometimes we don't know all the answers. And we also, sometimes we think, oh, well, that person probably shouldn't be part of the NFB. But everyone has the right, and everyone should be invited to be part of us. So that's something that I really think is really important for us. Advocacy, well, I happen to notice that you guys have a parental bill here in the state of Illinois that gives people opportunities to be parents. About a year ago, my wife and I were called by CYFD in New Mexico, and they were wanting us to take care of our grandkids. And so when we talked to them, the lady did not mention anything to me about my blindness. But later on that afternoon, she called my wife and she says, I understand you do most of the driving. And my wife says, I do all the driving. And then she goes, well, is your husband legally blind or blind? And my wife says, well, you need to talk to him. So she handed me the phone, and she goes, Mr. Vigil, I just wanted to know, are you legally blind? And I said, well, if yes. I said, I've never heard of anyone being illegally blind. I said, I am totally blind. I said, if you are thinking that this is going to keep us from taking our grandkids, I said, you better think twice. And I said, because, you know, not only am I blind, but I'm an educator. I'm the president of the National Federation of the Blind of New Mexico. I'm on the national board. I said, and, you know, we're going to stand up for that. And she goes, oh, no, of course not, Mr. Vigil. You'll get the children. But I really think that she was leading up to something. But because we were able to challenge her immediately, I think she realized, no, let's go ahead. So we got to keep our children for 9 months. And it was an honor. It was great. We had 3 kids that stayed with us. And I share that story because that's how important it is for us to have this type of legislation that will actually help us make sure that all people who want to be parents can be that. And so thank you, Illinois, for doing that. We have created a self-advocacy toolkit, and you can go on there. There's for unemployment, education, the testing for parents. And you can go and look at our website and find all of that information on there. And also, you can also download some letters if you want to write up some letters of issues that you're coming across. I mean, anybody have problems with technology?
Yeah,
I think we all do. And sometimes if we don't report those, they can continue happening. But if we can work together to change that, that's what's going to make our life so much easier. Access to testing. Any college students have had issues, or high school students, with testing? Yeah, it's real. It's real. And so we're working on changing that, but we can't change it if we don't know when it's out there, when it's going on. And, you know, again, for me, it was a learning experience when we had our kids, because the district where the kids were going to school there was actually pretty accessible. I mean, they would send us text messages, emails. I mean, they could,
Sarah 002 is the co-host now.
I could read it and be able to work with them. So There are some districts out there that are good, but some of them are not, you know? And so I think that's, again, something that happens to us throughout the country. We have legal issues. Anybody heard of legal issues? Well, you know, we have a few that we've been working with. We've been coordinating some things, and we want to make sure that everyone that we have the strategy so that we can all work together. We want to make sure that if we're going to go into a legal situation, that it's going to benefit all blind people. And sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but I know in our state, sometimes we have individuals who say, well, I'm going to sue this particular company through, you know, in behalf of the NFB, or without even talking to us. And they say, you know, I mean, it's going to help blind people. Well, no, we need to find out exactly what it is. We need to talk to our presidents. We need to talk to our national office, our legal team, Scott Labar, Valerie Engling, and President Riccobono, to make sure that we're all on the same page and able to do the same things that our national office is doing, and we're not going off on our own doing something that might not be something that we need here, you know, in our state. And there is a form also, if you come across issues with legal issues, that you can fill out. And you can go on to our legal website, on our NFB website, legal issues or legal, and fill out that particular form, and then the national office will decide, well, this is something that we can, that is something that we want to look on to, you know. We have some current issues that we're dealing with. Anybody, have any of us visited the Social Security Administration offices? Are they accessible? No. We need to know that in Baltimore. We need to let Valerie and we need to let our legal team know that this is going on, because we cannot change these things, even though there might be an agreement. Now, many times we settle and say, well, there's an agreement that they're going to do this, but that doesn't mean that it's getting done. And it's up to us to make sure that we continue to monitor that, that we continue to work on those issues so that our individuals out there can have access, equal access to all the technology that's out there. Let's see. I know you guys have not heard about this particular other organization, Uber. Uber has been around for a while, and it's been a problem for a while. We're still continuing to work with the Uber, and there's still that form that you can report issues, whether you are a guide dog user or just an individual with a cane or some other technology that might not be accessible to you. I heard not too long ago where somebody called an Uber and went to go, well, the Uber was there, and the guy said, well, you need to give me your pass key or code or whatever, a code. Well, the blind person had no idea that there was a code on his phone that he needed to go through. So again, it's technology at working at its best, but sometimes it's not the best for us. And sometimes, you know, we do fight with that and work through that. How many of you guys have heard of Amazon? Anybody order from Amazon? Yeah. Yeah, it's we all take advantage of ordering from Amazon.
Sarah 002 has started screen sharing.
It's working for Amazon. And if you are a member or a person who has had issues with accessibility in Amazon and they told you to go home and put you on unpaid leave and just said, you know, we'll call you whenever we make things accessible, please let us know. Call the office and let our legal team know that this is something that is really important and we need to make sure that we change that. We work on that. Anybody here work for Amazon? No? Okay. But if you do, make sure you do that, okay? Okay, technology surveys. Well, you know, we have, I mean, you guys see on our emails, how many times do you see a survey? Plenty of surveys, right? And sometimes, if I notice that it's a survey, before I even have a chance, I deleted it, and then I realize, oops, I better go back and find out who that came from. And I think that's something that we all need to make sure, because we do get surveys from our national office, making sure that we are doing, giving up the information that we need so that we can work to change that technology, the accessibility, or whatever the survey might be. So there are quite a few surveys that we get, and in fact, our strategic plan for the NFB, there was a survey in September, and many of us had the opportunity to fill that out, and we will be talking more about it as the convention gets nearer, I mean closer to the 23 convention, but the board is working on that particular survey. Settlements and agreements. The Colorado Department of Corrections, there was a lawsuit that the individuals who were prisoners of that particular state agents, the State Department, they did not have access to anything. They were having to, well, basically be there and just at the will of everyone else. Well, we had a lawsuit that went through, and the individuals and the National Federation of the Blind, we won that lawsuit, and now it is required that prisoners get information in an accessible format. And that's something that we do. Now, I want to clarify something here. When I say we, I'm not talking about our national board. I'm not just talking about our office. I'm talking about all of us in this room. It is our organization, and so if we work together, that's what can happen. We can change the lives of those individuals, whoever they are. So think about it as you continue to be involved in the NFB. It's not the national office. It's not the national board. But it's us, all of us involved. The Berkeley School District also got themselves into trouble because, again, they were not accessible to our children, to the kids in high school there. And so there's been that, and there's been a settlement on that, and they've made all kinds of agreements that they're going to start making sure that they're following the ADA and that they're going to make sure that everything's accessible. Well, we'll see how that works. I mean, you know, I had a friend that says the proof is in the pudding. And I think that's what we have to constantly look at. The UNC, again, this is a medical information for patients. And how many of you have a hard time getting your information in an accessible format? We all do. I mean, people say, well, no. I mean, I've had situations where I've been told, when you come to the doctor, you make sure you bring somebody who can read for you, who can fill up these forms for you. And we've had some issues. We've had some discussions. And in fact, one situation, I said, no, I'm not. I'll be here, and I need someone to help me. And this lady said, well, we don't have anybody here to help you. Well, the next time I went, the doctor called, you know, when he called me into his room, he says, I'm sorry for what happened. It shouldn't have never happened. And that person is no longer working here. And that's what we need, you know. But we have to be constant. We have to be all the time. We have to be thinking about how we can change this environment for us as blind individuals and making things accessible. We do have information on our Washington seminar, and I know that we will be speaking about the Washington seminar. I was talking to our president, and she said, yeah, we will have someone speaking about those. But if you have not had an opportunity to attend a Washington seminar, believe me, it is an eye-opening experience. It is so powerful when we go into those offices and we can speak to our congressmen, to our senators, to our representatives, and let them know what we need as blind people. And since I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that, because I know you guys will be talking about that, so I'm just going to... We oppose the Alice, Cogswell, and Ann Sullivan Act. And what this does, it waters down the standards that's already on the IEP for Braille, for how a student learns. And we're going to be hearing more, I know, about people who did not have the opportunity to learn the Braille when they should have, or were not really encouraged to continue reading it. And, you know, I'll be sharing some of my nightmares with Braille. So I think it's something that we all need to continue to look at. Let's see, education, rehabilitation. How many of you guys know that, has anybody heard about Bell? How many Bell programs do we have here in Illinois?
Two.
Okay, well, thank you guys. Thank you for going out. All right. Thank you for reaching out to the children and working with Bell. And we are preparing again. We do start, you know, we finished up the summer program for 2022, and we are getting ready to go into the 23 summer programs. And yeah, I know you guys will continue to provide that great opportunity for blind students who really don't know anything about Braille, or, you know, even some of our skills that we teach them during Bell. Those things are not taught in the schools, unfortunately. So that's something. Anybody know anything about Newsline? Yeah, we have a Newsline program here too, right? And it's an active group, and everyone enjoys listening to Newsline and getting articles. And if you have any problems with that, of course, you know who to contact, and that's Scott White. Scott White. and at nfb.org. And if you, and who's in charge of it here?
David Meyer.
Okay, I kept hearing David Meyer, and I was thinking, he must be guilty of something there. Yeah, but no, it was. Thank you, Dave, for doing that. We have our early child. Course, we have our Braille readers. We have our cane travel, where we want to teach students to learn cane travel early, because there's no reason why children should wait till they're teenagers to learn to use a cane. They should start right away. And the Braille program, Reading Pals, that's what this is about. And we want to continue to work on that. We encourage you guys to get involved with that and get our people here. And then we also have our market. Anybody order things from the market?
Yeah.
I think everybody does, right? Yeah. It's a great resource for us. And we appreciate the support from all of you. And we appreciate everything that you do for the National Federation of the Blind. And together, we can change those dreams into reality as long as we share the love, the hope, and the determination. Thank you.
Thank you, Adelmo, for that national report. If Ileana Serrano from the census is in the room, Marco or Patty?
I think she is. I have an FBI
name. Okay. Do we have a door prize?
We do, but the microphone isn't on.
Oh.
Well,
all right, I can repeat. All right, she's going to pull a door prize. What you got?
I have a door prize that's very apropos to all of this that we just heard. I have a genuine NFB National Federation of Blind mug.
An NFB mug, okay.
Live the life you want.
Ooh, a leather cane holder. From our immediate past president, Denise Avon. And the winner.
$20
$20? $20. Addison, are you in the room? I know he's presenting a little later. Addison, are you in the room? Ah, not yet. Yep, he missed it. Yep, almost doesn't count. Not in this room. Rachel Newland, are you here? Oh, she's over to my far right near the back, it sounds like. All right. Thank you, Mr. Natale.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you. Joe Natale is the deputy. I'm sorry, Mr. Natale, if you could state your title.
The deputy director at the Illinois State Library.
Thank you. Mr. Natale was with us last year to talk about services through the Illinois Talking Book and Braille Service. Mr. Natale, welcome.
Hi. Not to sound rude, I really didn't want to be here this year because I had hoped we'd had a permanent director for the Talking Book program, but we haven't been able to hire anyone yet. It's been difficult, both trying to recruit someone inside the organization and outside. We're going to have a new administration, you know, in January with the election. So that's probably a task that will fall upon that person. But The program will go on. It's been going on for years and years, and it will continue. Just to give you, during the last year, we have over 10,000 users. I think we could have many more. We circulated 510 digital books and 776,000 in BARD downloads. And that was 510,000 digital circulated. So we're doing pretty good. The bad news this year from the Library of Congress and the National Library Service was, because of the paper shortage, they ceased publication of the talking book topics, and it went online in various formats. We notified all our users. We sent a letter and told them about that, and that they're not happy about it. We do a newsletter. We've done a quarterly newsletter, and it's 4 pages. Well, the paper shortage has affected the state of Illinois. For example, last year, the Secretary of State could not publish a new edition of Rules for the Road because of the paper shortage. Now, we have a decision to make, and what I'm proposing is that we go from 4 times a year to 2 times a year on a paper newsletter. I think, one, it's important the way, you know, we can communicate. And another thing, you know, some people drop out of the service, and the only way we find out about it is return mail. So some way or the other, we have to have some sort of paper communication. But for the Braille, people using Braille, we have plenty of Braille. So even if we went online totally, the Braille edition of the newsletter will continue to come out. So, you know, we're trying our best to meet your needs. The other thing we've started, and it might be coming as a shock to some people, it's been a long time coming, is we started the duplication on demand process. We should have started this maybe 2 years ago, but with the pandemic and the supply chain problems, just this past couple months, we finally received the equipment to make copies of books. And what this is instead of one book on one cartridge, there can be multiple books on one cartridge. A person does not have to wait. If someone has a book and they want it, they don't have to wait anymore. We can download that book from the Library of Congress. So there can be multiple copies of a book in high demand circulating at one time. We can, the important thing is, even with this duplication on demand, you can still call the reader's advisors here in Springfield, and people in Chicago can call Chicago and still have that reader advisor help them. When we need to get the directions out on how to use this machine, but initially when you get a cartridge and you put it in, it uploads some software. There's a software update, and it takes a few minutes, and then there's a beep, and then there's instructions on how to use the cartridge. We can put up to 5 books on a cartridge, but we could get more on, could be less, just depends on the size of the book and what a person wants. And then when you send that cartridge back, you send it back in like you've always sent it in, we just delete those books that's on that cartridge and reuse it and put your new books on it. And the directions, there's directions on how to read the next book, or if you want to skip a book, and how you can go ahead. And then, like I said, when you return the cartridge, you just do it as you usually do. One thing that we are going to do in the future, excuse me, because there's a new Secretary of State, so you know his name is on the mailing card, so we're going to have to change the name. But on that mailing card, there's also going to be a list of the books that are on that tape. I watched them the other day download, and it only takes a few minutes, and there's these machines hooked up to a computer and they put them in a slot and it runs a program and maybe takes about a minute, 2 minutes to download the books. So it's going to change the workflow here. Eventually, you know, we have on the first floor and the fifth floor, we have shelving. They won't be shelving books anymore. We'll be sending those cartridges back to the Library of Congress. But then their work changes to loading the downloading the books on the cartridges. So it'll be different for the next couple of years for our staff. One thing we want to do in the future is do more statewide promotion. I always tell people this is our growth industry. We circulate more talking books than we do regular library books. And through the public libraries, we're going to try to promote this more. Also in the schools, we need to get out. I've noticed lately we've been getting requests from schools to sign up for the program. So that's kind of where we're at right now. The service is just grinding on. Our readers' advisors, the room they're in really isn't conducive to the sound. We have four people in that room and there's like 4 foot, 5 foot partitions. We're gonna put seven foot partitions up to give them a little more privacy and it'll help absorb the sound more so they can work better with the patrons. But that's what we have going on at the State Library. If you have any questions.
Yes, Debbie Stein with a question, and then it sounds like David Meyer, and those will be the only two questions.
Okay.
Because we'll need to move on. So if someone could run Debbie Stein a mic and then over to David Meyer. Thank you, Pat Olson.
Can you hear me? Oh, all right. I would love to get the e-readers for reading Braille. And did the State Library ask how I could get a version of it? And they said, well, do you receive hard copy Braille? And I said, you know, I haven't for a number of years because it just got to be so onerous to be schlepping books back and forth to the post office all the time. I'd walk down the street with my little shopping cart all the way to the post office with my books. And they said, well, if you haven't been getting hard copy Braille, we can't sign you up to get the e-reader. And I said, well, okay, can you sign me up to get hard copy Braille? And she said, well, no, we can't do that because it costs us money and we can't sign people up to get hard copy Braille if we know that the only reason they want to get it is so that they can be eligible to get the e-reader. So can you tell me how I can break out of this loop and get the e-reader? Because I think a lot of other people are in the same situation.
No, that e-reader thing, it's not moving. It's just... it's sort of dead in the water because we get this question all the time, but can you?
People in other states
have got it. Yeah, let me tell, I'm gonna give you my email, okay? Or I'll pass it on to Marilyn and she can get, and then would you contact me, send me an email. And I know Utah handles this, and we'll see if we can get you signed up with Utah so you can, you know, at least get in line for that piece of equipment. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but yeah, we've been dealing with
down a path.
David Meyer. In regards to the paper shortage and the kind of problems that it's been engendering in terms of the in terms of the library's newsletter, where it's going down from 4 copies a year to 2 copies a year. We do post that letter on the Illinois, on NFP Newsline, on the Illinois Information Talking Book and Braille Service subchannel of our state's information channel. I will continue to do that as long as I get them. But perhaps one way around that problem would be to make a concerted effort to sign people up within the state for NFP Newsline. Additionally, that channel can be used to advertise certain library programs. For example, in past years, we've put information on about how to obtain talking books or talking book machines, where to send them if they need repair, how to get in touch with the Library Consumer Advisory Committee and how to join if that's what one wishes to do. I would like to continue that relationship, and it would be wonderful if we could do so.
Yeah, I'm open to that. I'm sorry, I just don't know how, you know, does everybody have, you know, the ability to see things online or access things online versus that they need the paper?
NFB Newsline can be accessed in every imaginable way.
Okay.
Phone, iPhone, Victor Reader Stream, Talking Book Machine, the web, on a PC. So there are plenty of access methods for NFP Newsline, and all of them are used some and really could be used even more.
Oh, okay. What's your name again, David?
David Meyer.
And who are you with?
I'm actually a member of this organization. I'm the Illinois, I'm this organization's Newsline coordinator, and I am the channel administrator for the Blindness Information Channel information.
Okay. I'm going to give you a holler then and talk about this.
I can, Mr. Natale, I can pass along David Meyer's email.
Okay. I'd appreciate that.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Mr. Natale, for your time this morning. We really do appreciate it. And I will get you in contact with Debbie Stein about that e-reader.
Okay, I appreciate that too.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for having us.
Thank you. Elizabeth Rouse, if you could make your way to the podium. So, students, where are you at selling candy? I think some people might need some sugar. All right. And how are we doing on the pie contest? I want to pie somebody. Sure. You're at 200 for the pies?
Oh. I'm excited. I don't know.
I thought that someone else was going to be getting a pie that wasn't mentioned earlier. Denise Avant, do you remember anything about that? Yes. And it sounds like they've already made it to 200, so I think Sarah Luna should get a pie in the face. What does the convention think?
Sarah,
do it for the team,
spoken.
Sarah Luna.
making $100 for the IAB student division, Madam First Vice President of IABs. Madam Immediate Past President, do you think we can pull together and give them another $100?
I think so. Maybe people would be willing to
All right, who we got on the team really quick? I can give up to 50. We got 100 right there. All right. Sarah Luna gets a pie in the face. All right, Sarah. Yep, so far we got Sarah Luna and Ellen Bartelt getting a pie. One more 100, Debbie Stein gets a pie for $400. Bring your cash to Sarah Luna, Glenn Moore, or Ellen Bartelt for the Pie Palooza, or see Ellen or Glenn in the back of the room if you want to buy some chocolate. And off to there, if you're standing in front of the IAP sales table, to their right is a water station. If you want some water, there are cups. The hotel has supplied us with some water. Elizabeth Rouse is giving the NABS report, National Association of Blind Students. You all have met Ms. Rouse. She is the treasurer of the National Association of Blind Students. Elizabeth.
Thank you so much, Marilyn. Just a quick note on the water rule. My friend Logan, who's in Virginia right now, always tells me, Elizabeth, hydrate or dehydrate. So get it done. The water's important. Good morning, everyone. You don't really have any questions left about who I am after that fantastic introduction. So I am very excited to be with you all this weekend. I have been having 2019 flashbacks. My first time as a National Student Division rep was here in the wonderful state of Illinois. And at that point in time, I was a treasurer in training under Dustin Cather, who has taught me, quote unquote, everything I know, according to Dusty. But super excited to be back with y'all, but especially Dustin. So, yes, there. I figured I'd be nicer to Dustin today than I was yesterday. But I am going to fill you guys in on some of the things that have been going on in NABS, the National Association of Blind Students. And I'm just going to start with a quick introduction of our current board of directors. Tricia Colcarney, who is originally from Ohio, a recent Stanford grad, is now down at the Louisiana Center for the Blind and our student division president. Our first vice president is a junior at the University of Minnesota, Logan Stenzel. He just finished up an Apple internship, so I feel like we got a good thing going on here. We got the smart kids. And our next smart kid is Sarah Luna, our second vice, who is living the La Vida Loca up at Blind Inc. So super proud of Sarah. Sarah is brand new to our board, so we're really, really lucky to have her. She always makes me laugh. Like, I feel like whenever I'm cranky, I could just call Sarah and be like, dude, SOS. It's usually the hats. But our next board member is Jean Kim, who is also at Stanford, junior at Stanford, who was lucky enough to be the National Student Division Rep with Adelmo and Soledad in New Mexico this year. Jean is our secretary. You all know me. I handle the money for whatever reason. I studied English in college, but here we go. And then we have four fantastic board members. Hunter Keister, who's a student at University of Wisconsin, Stout. He just finished up a really cool internship with this really awful baseball team, the Milwaukee Brewers. Have you guys heard of them? Yeah, they're not that important. So if you haven't, it's no big deal. And Kyle Garcia, who's a student out, I believe, at University of Santa Clara in California. We have Kin Chuktella, who I think you guys had last year, if I'm not mistaken, originally from Iowa, studying environmental science out at the University of Miami, which is confusingly in Ohio, but we're just not going to question that. And Justin Salisbury, who I love dearly, but I can't even remember where Justin's at right now because he's been a student in so many places. Yes, he's in a PhD program in Vermont. I do know that, but I just had to poke a little fun at Justin. So that is our current student board, full of some fantastic friends. And we actually are in the busiest of our seasons, Adelmo and Denise and Patty have been telling me some of the places that they get to go as national reps. Other folks in the room have possibly served in that capacity or will someday serve in that capacity. And we are definitely all over the country this fall, too. We've been in South Carolina, New Mexico, and Florida. This weekend, it's Virginia and Illinois. Next weekend, it's Washington and Connecticut. And the weekend after that, it's New Jersey and Texas. And as the person who has to buy, and what? Are you the Nav's representative? Okay, you're in Minnesota, so I don't remember these things. I didn't have to buy a flight for you, so I don't know that. So Sarah's also going to be in Minnesota. And I believe Jean is also going to be in Nevada. So as the person who has to buy all those flights, I am ready to not be as busy. But really excited about all the work that we do in this insanely busy season. But as if we were not busy enough, I'm now going to tell you about our four committees. Content creation, which is chaired by Kinshuk. Fundraising, chaired by Hunter. Legislative and self-advocacy, which is chaired by Justin. And our newest committee, membership, which is chaired by Jean. Content creation is responsible for the National Association of Blind Students NABS Now podcast, as well as our Student Slate blog. Definitely undertaking a lot of revisions in this new federation year, but super excited about all the work that team does. If you guys have not checked out the podcast, we cover a lot of different topics. We've covered women in the federation. We've covered love stories of the federation. I got to do a really fun episode with Norma and Glenn Crosby. So definitely some fun stuff there. It was very sweet. And then our next committee, which I hold near and dear to my heart, and you know, not like I'm a co-chair of it or anything, is fundraising. Athir and I were just talking about my lucrative fantasy football career that has taken off this year. So NABS is in the swing of fantasy football season. We also just concluded a trivia event for Blind Equality Achievement Month that ended up raising a little over $400. So that's really exciting, vast improvement from last year. So I will tell you, Madam President and Madam President of your student division, don't think we had a single Illinois person there. So if you guys could rise to the challenge next year, we'd love to see it. We also have an upcoming holiday mugs fundraiser that we're doing with Dot Shop, a partnership with Dot Shop and Rosina Foster out of Missouri. Our mugs are holiday themed. Specifically from a diversity, equity, and inclusion perspective, we didn't want it to be a specific holiday, so they are just festive for the season. They're actually really awesome. It's a family of snow people of all different gender identities. Two of them are carrying canes, and two of them have guide dogs on harnesses. So it's super cute. We're really hyped. And there's actually, to tie it into the NFB, we've got a little snowflake design with the word together, and then you can have the option of adding together in contracted UEB Braille on your mug. So that will be launching November 1st and running through the 22nd. You can place your orders for a coffee mug or a tumbler that keeps, as Rosina always says, your cold drinks cold and your hot drinks hot. So I will make sure that that gets over to y'all if you guys are interested. It's going to be a really fun one. And we are also getting ready for our annual Washington Seminar auction. We are collecting item donations, financial donations. Literally, if you want to get rid of it, we'll probably take it. And I have to give a super special shout out to the Illinois Student Division on this one. The last couple of years, we've had a Midwest collection, whether that's like a basket or just a group of items. And Illinois is always right there, ready, able, willing to contribute. So we're super grateful to them for their generosity. Yes, exactly. Thank you. That was a lot of enthusiasm from that back corner. I'm digging it. That must be where their chocolate is. So the next committee is our legislative and self-advocacy team. And we are obviously headed straight toward Washington Seminar and focusing on an increased student involvement at Washington Seminar. I am not completely certain at this point in time, but the National Student Division does usually have a funding program. So for all of our students in the room, scholarship winners, general attendees, if the financial burden is a little intimidating to you, find me some time. We'll talk about applying for some financial support to get to Washington Seminar. And I know your state does some of that as well. So definitely check in with your state and national leaders on that front. I know Justin is very adamantly pushing us to get some support rallied in our home states for all the work that you guys did with Senator Duckworth on this websites bill. So shout out to Illinois. So we're really excited about getting folks involved in those efforts. And finally, I'm going to touch base briefly on membership, which is our newest committee. Denise and I have had a couple of conversations this weekend about membership, since she is a fantastic national leader in that regard. Gene and his team have been spending a lot of time discovering what it means to be a member and exploring why membership matters. So the switch from a Federation year of July to June was kind of a rough one for us, to go from July to June to a calendar year. So we're still working out a lot of bugs with that. But I know that Gene is ready, able, and willing to shine. Gene is a dime. If none of you have met Gene, I'm sorry for your loss. He's a gift. Yes. I did want to toss out a quick note. We used to have a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee, but we have decided to dissolve that committee for the sole fact that it kind of struck us that in the student division, DEI should be a part of everything that we do. That is obviously a little bit different on a national front because it's a much larger scale, but we are always looking for ways to embrace inclusivity. We want to make sure that everyone has their proverbial spot at the table in NABS. One of the last things I will toss out to you all is a note on regional seminars. We currently do three: Midwest, Atlantic, and Pacific. And we've got quite a few people in the room who are actually in attendance at Midwest this year. It was a great time. Pop quiz, Patty or Marilyn, do we have Midwest dates for next year?
Of course we do.
What are they?
March 24th, 25th, and 26th.
So March
2023
to the 26th, we're going to be back in Chicago. We have an incredible team. Sarah is helping spearhead the planning efforts with Logan. And it's weird for me to not be in on that process, but I'm also, you know, after this flight season, kind of okay with it. So I'm going to attend and enjoy, and affiliate members, since this is your home and you're opening up to us, y'all are always welcome to register and participate along with us. I always say we take students from kindergarten through students of life, because that has no term limit. So whenever and however you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you. The last thing that I will toss at you is a quote that I used to have in my email signature. Has anyone heard of Walt Disney? No. You've never heard of him, Marilyn? So Walt Disney was this, okay, we'll talk later. But one of my favorite Walt Disney quotes is something that I think really pertains to the business of our National Student Division and to the Federation as a whole. And that is, the way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing. So I'm gonna be doing all weekend. You guys just gotta come find me. If you have any questions, I'd love to tackle them for you and with you. If I don't know the answers, I'll chase one down until I have one. But thank you again for such a warm welcome. It's really good to be back to a place that's felt like home for me for a long time. So I'm excited to keep on keeping on. But we'll talk soon, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Rousey. All right. I'm sorry? Oh, what kind is left? Oh, caramel and crisp chocolate are left at the back. I think I might need a runner to get me some chocolate.
Door prize.
What would all of us do without the wonderful Teresa Fabre? Isn't she lovely?
Do we have Addison Graham yet?
Addison Graham?
He's over here.
Yep.
You got something for him?
Okay. This is yours.
You got a door prize there.
Oh!
Nice.
All right, Matthew Hageman, Addison Graham, and Natalie Shaheen, make your way to the podium.
We are here.
All right. You know what? I don't want to give up my mic. Can someone run another mic over to Natalie, Matthew, and Addison up at the podium?
If you've got a cordless mic, we'd love to have it up here. Here I am. I'm up here. Yes, I can project off mic.
We prefer on mic for the people in Zoom,
yeah,
on streaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wanted people to know where we are. All right, so we're on the mic.
Yes, thank you, Natalie. Yeah. So Dr. Natalie Shaheen, Mr. Matt Hageman, and Mr. Addison Graham are here to talk about a project that they worked on earlier this year regarding STEM. Take it away.
Awesome, thanks, Marilyn. All right, so some of you guys know me pretty good. Some of you don't yet, you'll soon learn how I roll. So those who know me well, like Denise over there, know that this is not going to be the kind of session where you just sit and quietly listen. In fact, Elizabeth gave me a great quote at the end. Stop talking, start doing. I hope you are ready to do. Are y'all ready to do? Wonderful, because that's how I roll. All right, so I am here with some of my colleagues from Illinois State University representing to talk about some STEM work that we did in the spring of 2022, so just last spring, in my SED 365 course, which is our advanced AT course for our future teachers of blind students. And in that work, my students collaborated with a center on campus called CMAST, and Matthew's going to tell you more about that. But what we did was we worked with CMAST to make one of the STEM curriculums that they distribute to teachers here in Illinois accessible to blind and low vision students, because a teacher who was using that curriculum out in the field had a blind student and wanted to know, hey, how can I make this work for my student? So it was a teacher who sparked this work, and we responded to that by working together, and the students and I collaborated with CMAST for the whole semester to make the curriculum accessible, and you guys are gonna get to check that out here in a minute. But before that, I want Matthew to tell you a little bit about CMAST and about the curriculum itself. So here you are, Matthew.
Awesome. Thank you, Natalie. My name is Matthew Hageman. I'm an instructional designer at the Center for Math, Science, and Technology at Illinois State. Basically, my job is to make really cool projects that might involve curriculum, that might involve building cool things, and so we're gonna get our hands on some cool things a little bit later. Related to our Smart Grid for Schools program, this is a program funded by the Illinois Science Energy Innovation Foundation, and basically the goal is to help students understand where electricity comes from, how we're using it, and so on and so forth. But it was awesome that we were able to work with Dr. Shaheen as well as the awesome students. I'm gonna turn it over to Addison to explain that work.
Yeah, so Addison is a senior in our Low Vision and Blindness program, so soon to be out in the field teaching our blind kids here in Illinois. Watch this young person. All right, go for it, Addison.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me okay? Oh, right there, okay. Hi, my name is Addison. Essentially, I was enrolled in the SED 365 course. Some of the accommodations that we made to the science kit include braille labels, along with some adaptive motors so that you can tell whenever power is being connected to a house or maybe a factory or a school and such before they have little LED lights. Obviously, that's not going to work, so we installed some little low vibration motors along with some fans, and the kits we have today I think are just the low power motors and other types of accessible material, including the braille. I think my biggest takeaway from doing this was learning how to make things accessible. You talk a lot in the classroom, especially a special education classroom, about providing accommodations and modifications to your material for your students, but to actually put it into practice is an entirely another thing. And that was a great takeaway from this whole project. Also, I got to learn how to use a power drill, which kind of sad I didn't know how to do that before, but now I do.
There you go. Awesome. Thanks, Addison. All right, so now we are to the active part of this presentation. So before we start this active learning, I want us to all remember that we all come to today's activities with a different prior knowledge. That means what the information that you walked into this room with, the experiences that you have had in STEM, are all different. And that's cool, and that's awesome. And that means that we're all going to take different things away from today's activity. And that's cool. You know what? There is no test at the end of this presentation. There aren't even tests in my classes at the university, okay? So I don't roll like that. So you take from today's activities whatever you take, okay? There's not a test at the end of this activity. And the next biggest thing that I want you to remember as adult learners is to be patient and kind to yourself. Okay, in my experience, adult learners are not very patient and kind to themselves, and the second that they can't do something, they think they must be flawed in some way. You are not flawed, it's just taking you time to learn a new thing. It takes time to learn new things. It takes some people longer than other people. That doesn't make one person better or worse than the other, it just makes us different, okay? All right, yeah, are we in that mindset? Okay, all right, so nobody in here is stupid. Nobody in here can't learn these things. Now, it's possible that the very short activity that we have for today isn't sufficient time for you to learn some of the same things as your peers. That's cool, that's okay. That's on, you got a time limit. I'm sorry about that, but we can always do things at another time where we can have more time. So there is a box of materials on your table. Don't start rustling around in it just yet because that's going to make it hard for folks to hear me, okay? But I just want to give you kind of like a quick 411 on what's in the box. Oh, before that, my friends who are not at a round table, we don't have enough materials for all of the like head tables and things. I hope that you want to actively participate, and if you do, I need you to move to a round table once we get started. But there's a box of materials on each of the round tables. In that box, you're going to find a number of things, okay? So if I can get a little bit of quiet, for some folks, the extraneous noise will make it hard for them to hear. Okay, just give me a second, and then you can check out everything in the box. You've got a battery pack, a power company branch office, a power plant, a house, and one big building. A whole bunch of wires, okay, and some tools to connect those wires. The wires, you will differentiate the color between them by the number of knots. They're also labeled in Braille. Okay, so the most important wire in the box is the white wire. That's the ground wire. Okay, the white wire has no knots. And the white wire, you'll notice when you look at the buildings, the way that you connect the wires is not the way it's actually done in your house. Okay, it's done in a way that will work better for kids. So there's an alligator clip and a spring on each of the buildings, and that's how you connect the wires up. The alligator clip is for the ground wire, the white wire. Okay, so the white wire should always be connected to an alligator clip on both ends. All right, so now your goal for today is to work with the materials in your box to connect to power one house and your big building, if you can swing it, okay? My friends Addison, Matthew, and I will be circulating around to help. I'm not going to tell you how to do it because that's kind of part of the point, okay? But just remember, your white wire is your ground wire. It has no knots. And it goes to the alligator clips. See what you can figure out. You got like 10 minutes.
Is Jennifer Kennedy from Blind Ink in the room? Yeah. You'll be wanting to make your way up to the front. You're the next presenter on deck.
All right. I have a couple of closing things to share, and then I'm going to yield this mic to the next presenter. So hopefully a few of you powered a building and saw that it either vibrated or a fan turned on, and you were able to check that out. When we do this with kids, we do it over multiple days. So if you got something connected in 10 minutes, you're a rock star. And if you didn't, that's okay. That just means I failed as a teacher to give you sufficient time. So that's on me, not on you. Okay? All right. So if you are a teacher or you know a teacher who does STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math with their students, and they want to use this accessible curriculum, they can email cmast@ilstu.edu, all right? Or you can get in touch with me, and I'll be happy to connect you. This spring, my SED 365 class is working with CMAST on yet another curriculum, so we should hopefully every year be churning out another one of these. So thank you all for your time. Appreciate my colleagues Matthew and Addison coming up from Normal today. And hope you're all actively learning now.
Yes. Excuse me, what was that, Ellen? Oh, they're sold out of chocolate, so that means everybody has money for Piepalooza. How are we doing on Piepalooza? Are the students doing on Piepalooza? You're at 300? All right, so we need $100 more for Debbie Stein to get a pie in the face. All right, thank you, Natalie, Matthew, and Addison, for that great presentation and interaction regarding STEM accessibility for blind students. Jennifer Kennedy, have you been able to make your way to the podium?
Yep, we're all here.
All right, wonderful. So we have Jennifer Kennedy, who is the executive director of our NFB Training Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, to talk about what to expect at an NFB Training Center. Thank you, Jennifer.
Got your things? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. I know how much people love listening to me talk last night, so I'm not going to do so much of it this morning. A couple things I do want to say about our National Federation of the Blind Training Centers. I'm fortunate enough to be the one running our lovely, lovely urban travels destination in Minneapolis. I have to first of all tell you how exciting it is to bring students who are at our center to their state convention. that's one of the key factors with our NFB training centers is we offer them the community of the Federation. Nobody else does it. Sure, there are other structured discovery training centers, but they're not ours. Hashtag just saying. So a couple things I want to get you all up to speed on. We continue to work in the areas of orientation mobility / cane travel, Braille, adaptive technology of all kinds, phones, tablets, Braille note takers, blind shell phones. If it talks or has some kind of electrical output to it, chances are we're doing something with it. A few things over the last time I was here have changed, and that is our efforts to include all members of our community. In particular, when we talk about diversity and equity and inclusion, I want to thank some of our Black leaders here who have put out some dynamic materials that we have used over the last probably 18 months, as well as our Muslim division. It's hard when you work in an area where there are so many different populations to serve. And so it's amazingly helpful to have materials by blind people that can speak to all of our members. So thank you so much for that. Second thing I want to mention is what we have been doing at our National Federation of Blind Training Centers to continue to support, discouragement of harassment, misconduct of all kinds. When we talk to a lot of our work, our contract holders within our states, we said we expect the best from ourselves, from our staff, and from our students. And we know in the workplace there's a zero misconduct tolerance, and that should be everywhere, including at our training centers. We continue our partnership and our work with RAIN. In Minneapolis, we had earlier in the winter, we did a two-part consent workshop with Consent and Boundaries with the Canadian Consent Coalition. I love them. I can't wait to have them again next year. I thought it was great. We've worked with Outfront Minnesota to provide education about what we can do to be supportive to our LGBTQIA community. So it's really, really important to us that we find ways to continue to promote the diversity among our group, the safety and support, and of course, making sure that we do all the good things that you do to get jobs at a national, to get our students employed at a national training center run by us. So I have with me two individuals, one who is about to finish their program, and the other who is just in the beginning part of their program. So, first of all, Sarah, talk to us a little bit about, as you're coming to a close, tell us about one of your graduation capstone projects.
Hello?
Nope, try again.
Hello?
There you go.
All righty. Nope, dang it.
Push the button hard.
Okay, there we go.
All right.
Hello, everyone. I'm back again. All right, so I actually just completed one of my projects this past week. In my communications course, I wanted to really focus in on my Braille skills, and particularly with using the slate and stylus. This is because I was actually at Blind Incorporated 3 years ago when I was still in college for a summer program, because I didn't want to take the time off at the time to do the full 6 to 9 months. So once I finished college, I came back to Blind Incorporated, and because I'd already been to Blind Incorporated for a summer, I felt more comfortable in my Braille skills. So this time around, I really honed in on improving my slating speed and my reading speed. So I chose to do a project, particularly with the slate and stylus, and I chose to Braille every lyric and every song of what I believe is the greatest album of all time, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles. It ended up being 31 pages of lyrics with a title page and table of contents. And I started it back in July, and I just finished it this past week. And it was just very satisfying to see, like, the entire thing all together. And honestly, I thought I was going to end up hating the album by the end, but no, I love it even more now. So definitely, like, it definitely helped me hone in on, like, using when to use contractions. And, like, I now will never forget the how to write, like, how to capitalize a passage in Braille and, like, how to end that capitalization. So it was definitely a lot of fun. There were some less fun aspects, like when I had to write the phrase, good morning, good, 10 times in a row. But it was a great time, and I am very proud of that project.
Thank you, Sarah. Madison, you've been with us for a little over a month now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to us about what you experienced during the first week of training.
Okay, well, the first week of training was pretty much like a tutorials almost. So basically you got shown around as far as transportation, because when you go to Blind Ink, you have to take the bus and the train to get there. So when I first arrived, I was very not caught off guard, but it was new for me to take public transportation, because in Illinois we just use paratransit. So I had to like memorize routes and stuff. So that was new for me, but accomplished it well. And then I got introduced to all of the classes that I will be taking, the communications, which is Braille and technology, travel training, and home management, where you learn how to cook and all those other home skills you do. But the difference for me was that I have partial vision, so I had to accomplish all of these things under sleep shades, which was kind of scary at first, but turns out I actually didn't mind the sleep shades at all. It's just you do things different, not harder. That's the whole thing.
All right. Thank you, Majesty. All right, Sarah, next question. We always hear about industrial arts and the wood shop, and you know, we build two things, confidence and stuff out of wood. And you came back to finish your full program, and you said, please don't make me do anything else on wood. What was it that you wanted to do in our industrial arts area that we're expanding at Blind Incorporated?
Actually, Jennifer, I wanted to work with wood. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, it was,
that was Majesty
who didn't want to work with wood.
Okay, that was Majesty.
Industrial arts was my favorite class my first time around. I made a crescent moon wall hanging to hang jewelry off of.
That's adorable.
Yes. But one of the reasons I wanted to come back to Blind Incorporated is because of our new home maintenance component to the industrial arts class, where we learn how to work with things around the house so we don't have to unnecessarily pay someone to take care of it for us. So one of the first things we work on is how to getting acquainted with a doorknob. And how like the locking mechanism works, and they give us one. We pick out our tools, and we just sit there and try to dissect it ourselves. And we can ask questions if you know we're struggling for a little bit. And then We have to assemble it and disassemble it twice, and then once we've done that, we have to put it onto a door, which, gotta say, I struggled a little bit, but I got it done in the end. And actually, this past week, I moved on to our bigger project where I learned all the components of a toilet, and I had to assemble it and disassemble it twice. So that was super fascinating, and I'm really excited because when I go back on Tuesday, I'm going to learn how to use work with the kitchen sink, literally.
Thank you. Absolutely. Okay, Majesty, now I know I have to get you an industrial art sooner than later. So we want our students to be prepared for our winters up there in Minneapolis. Did you do the winter clothes shopping?
Yes,
I did. So talk to us, what's it like to go shopping under shades and working with an assistant?
Okay. I've had experience with personal shoppers as far as like grocery stores and stuff. So this is my first time actually using a shopper in a clothing store, let alone wearing shades. So as far as like following them, I just like listen for their voices. I just tell them to just keep talking to me as far as instead of me just holding on to them was one way. The one thing that was different because I can't see anyone as I would be able to if I didn't have my shades on. So I found that they apparently were very fascinated at the fact of how well we can navigate, you know, without being able to see stuff. And I actually, one of the personal shoppers had saw me. I had sat down to take off my shoe to try on one of the shoes, and then I had put it back on, and I had laced on my shoes, and I was tying it. And his comment was basically like, "Oh, wow, you're pretty good at that." I was like...
Raising expectations, ladies and gentlemen.
I was just like, I didn't know what to say to that. That I was just like, okay. I didn't know you need a vision to tie your shoes, but all right. I'll take it where I can get it. But like other than that, like it was pretty cool having to buy multiple layers because apparently Minnesota likes to get really cold. So I had to buy two layers of coats and heavy winter gloves because it gets cold already. Like, it was already snowing, like, 2 weeks ago.
And then it was 73 days ago.
I know. Like, it doesn't want to make up his mind.
All right. Excellent. I want to be mindful of our time. But
I was just going to say that, Jennifer. Yep. We want to go ahead and wrap up because we have our bureau chief from the Illinois Bureau of Blind Services, so we will adjourn a little bit later than the schedule says because we want to make sure that Bureau Chief Borowitz has enough time to talk about services as well as to answer a question or two.
Yep.
Okay.
So the last thing that I wanted to highlight was careers. Sarah, last question. What are you doing to prepare as you leave Blind Incorporated in December?
Well, I've been part of two different tracks for the careers class. I was part of a group careers class where we talked about a variety of topics such as interviewing and the accommodations process when starting a job and the onboarding process and how to like look at a job listing and all of those things that involve in the job hunting process. And then I have an individualized jobs class where I work one-on-one with my instructor on things that are specifically that I want to focus on. Right now we're working on editing my resume and working on how to tailor it specifically to a job listing. And we're talking about developing a CV and really just like how to best market myself for the types of jobs that I want to get in the field that I want to get in. And so we're going to work specifically like getting informational interviews and working on those networking / interviewing skills in the coming weeks as I prepare to wrap up my program in December.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you to all of you. I want to also thank the Bureau here for your belief in what we do at Blind Incorporated and allowing us to work with your consumers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jennifer. If you could leave that mic up at the podium, that extra mic, that would be great for Bureau Chief Borowitz.
May I give a quick door prize?
Of course you can, as long as it's to me.
Really quick, because it's an honor of blinding, and it is a wonderful shirt. Donated by Blind Me, and they recognize donated by Blind Me, and a $15 Starbucks that you can take when you're going on your travel adventure. And the honor, Rachel?
All right, so we have the Illinois Bureau of Blind Services has a new bureau chief, Kim Borowitz, who just started in July. Thank you, Bureau Chief Borowitz. We had a great conversation when she first started in July talking about the National Federation of the Blind and the work that we do every day to raise expectations. So first of all, as Jennifer just said, I want to echo, thank you for supporting our blind youth and helping us to get them to our training centers. We hope that that can continue throughout your tenure with the Bureau. But I will leave it to you to talk about the Bureau of Blind Services. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Marilyn. Again, my name is Kim Borowitz. I'm the new Bureau Chief for the Bureau of Blind Services. And just to start off, we have recently changed our name, but nothing within our structure or services has changed. And the reason our name has changed is because my boss, the director of the Division of Rehabilitation Services, really wants to put a focus on customers and the community. So we've changed our name to add that, customers and community, to the center. So it's now the Bureau of Blind Customer, sorry, the Bureau of Customer and Community Blind Services. So it's just adding customer and community after the word blind, after the word bureau. Sorry, I'm still learning this. I did start in July, so I'm kind of doing the best I can. I did want to say a little bit about me. I did receive vocational rehabilitation services when I was transitioning, so the last year or so of high school and then into college. I had a very similar experience to one of the folks that just talked about going to a transition training center, this is in Michigan, and learning to take a public bus for the first time, because where I grew up in Michigan has no public transportation whatsoever. And I have to say, it was incredibly nerve-wracking, but as a person who's not able to drive because of my vision, it was life-changing and really made me decide that I always wanted to live in a city so I could be as fully independent as possible. I just say that to say I've been a recipient of services from vocational rehabilitation through the state. Now, this was in Michigan, but I just say that to say I understand the importance of these services. I understand the need for them, and I'm very, very passionate about being part of this this effort between all of us to help folks who are blind be fully employed. So we provide many different services, like we were just talking about transition services. We do partner with Blind Inc. and are able to provide funding to students who may need that. We also provide, and I like to bring this up, job retention services. So not just thinking about folks, you know, at the age of 14 and kind of in those areas, but if someone's older and maybe they're getting some low performance reviews. I did a lot of this in my previous job at the U.S. Department of Labor, partnering with vocational rehabilitation to help folks remain on the job. I also personally have a very, very, very strong commitment, I said very three times, to digital accessibility. I know, right? I'm from the government, and I actually understand digital accessibility. So my previous job was 2 years completely focused on Section 508, which is the section of the Rehabilitation Act that requires federal government to have accessibility, digital accessibility. We have, as you all probably know, an equivalent law here in the state of Illinois, the Illinois Information Technology Accessibility Act. And I opened up that law, well, I'm a lawyer by background, and I opened up that law and I didn't even really have to read it because it mimics 508. So I just want you guys to know, you all to know, I get 508, it's not a buzzword to me. I know how to make documents accessible. I know how to make electronic forms accessible. I'm totally aware of the inaccessibility of documents that we have in our bureau, and I am so committed, and this is not just me talking. I'm so committed, I've already been doing it. I mean, just ask, the assistant bureau chief is in the room, and I mean, I have a meeting on Tuesday with a contractor to make our PowerPoint template in all of the Department of Human Services completely accessible. My heart and my stomach drop, just like a lot of yours in the room, you know, when we're told to look at a screen clip or as you can see. So I have those feelings too. I've been an advocate in the past. I worked for 6 years at Access Living, the Center for Independent Living in Chicago, as a staff attorney. My heart is in it, and I am totally here to help in whatever ways we can. So just a couple quick things, because I know I'm between you and lunch. I'm here all day until 5, and me and the assistant bureau chief will both be at the student and parent lunch. So if you all have questions for us, I don't want you to feel like you're at a loss for that. So I am going to give you both my email address and my work cell phone. You cannot text the work cell phone because it's a government cell phone, but it's 217-606-9986. 217-606-9986. I had to read it off my iPad. I don't have it memorized yet. And my email is kim.bsinboyorowicatillinois.gov. Couple of huge announcements I do want to say for the state of rehabilitation in Illinois. The client assistance program has moved to Equip for Equality. So it's no longer within the Department of Human Services itself. This is the system that can be used to appeal or complain about vocational rehabilitation rights. I think it's a really good move to move it to the protection and advocacy system within Illinois. And I think it'll help out customers a lot. I also want to reiterate our commitment to ending the use of subminimum wage for Illinoisans with disabilities. Both via the governor's executive order in October, and I'm also happy to announce that we just received a grant. We were one of 14 states to receive a grant from the Department of Education to end subminimum wage, so to really move those jobs over into competitive integrated employment. And I don't want to forget our vendors and the vending program. I know we have a few of them here in the room. And we've worked really hard on job retention for them. So about 50 of those vendors receive job retention services for us when their vending sites were affected due to the pandemic. So I just want to just end by saying, sorry I talked so fast. I'm so sorry if there isn't time for questions. But I'm here.
We have time for a few questions, though.
Oh, okay, Marilyn. Marilyn's like, you're not getting off the hot seat.
We want to make sure that people have time to ask you questions. Of course, those that we can't get through during this session, you know, as you said, you'll be here for the rest of the day. But all right,
hold on. You want my mic?
Okay, so we're at about, I think, 11:35. Well, it's 11:36. So are there any other people? Because Adelmo and Kathy Randall, I would take one more question if there might be one from the floor. Okay. So Kathy Randall.
Yes. I've just been told that I3 does not have Wi-Fi. Is that still the case?
Yep. So yeah, I will be honest. I work in iCreewood every day. I'm on site Monday through Friday. I opted not to remote work so I could, you know, be there and really understand the issues. And yes, I will admit that I have, in my time there, have not been able to get onto Wi-Fi on my personal phone or on my personal iPad. Now, oddly enough, I have been able to get onto Wi-Fi like through my government-issued computer, but of course that doesn't help our customers who are on site. Yeah. I am readily working on that, and I'm acutely aware because, like I said, I am there every day and I'm working on the issue. But yeah, what you've heard is true. We have Wi-Fi hotspots connected throughout the ceilings in the rooms, but when you can get access, it goes in and out.
All right, thank you, Kathy Randall. Thank you, Kim. Adelmo Vigil.
Well, I'm sorry for the state of it too. I mean, yeah.
Adelmo Vigil, our national rep, has a question. Adelmo, here's the mic.
Well, first of all, thank you. I'm Adelmo Vigil, and I'm from New Mexico, and I had the opportunity to work with vocational rehab while I was there with the Commission for the Blind. And one of the things that I know that we had that was required that for us to do is to have an operation, you know, manual for our customers or their consumers so that we know and our counselors have a good idea as to how they can serve everyone in a, you know, pretty standard way. Do you have a manual that you're using here?
I'm working on one now with a Quip. Ingrid, do we have one currently?
This is Ingrid. Are you asking if we have a manual to give to our customers?
If you could run the mic to her, if someone could get a mic to Ingrid.
Hi, this is Ingrid. I have the privilege of being the assistant bureau chief under Bureau Chief Borowitz. And are you asking if we have
Well, I think what I'm asking is that we want our customers or our consumers to make sure that they know exactly what their rights are.
Yes.
And that's required by RSA.
Yes, we have documents that, again, are not accessible at this point, but Kim's working on them, that gives them their rights, the information to contact for Equality for the Client Assistance Program, the opportunity to file an appeal, go through mediation or supervisory discussion, and we have a document that is accessible that outlines their process through the VR system.
So do all of your counselors have the document, the operation manual? I mean, is there something in a manual that your counselors can actually use to provide that service?
Our web CM, our case management system, is web-based, and those documents are brought forward from that document. When we go into any of the VR processes, they come up. We can also access them through our internal internet, and we also have a paper version that the counselors can use as well. So every counselor, every coordinator, every instructor, every supervisor has access to those resources.
Just to add to this is Kim again. I do have meetings on my calendar to work with Equip for Equality on making what they're calling a toolkit. And like we can always like talk later if that's matching what you are talking about, because under their CAP funding, Equip is also able to give like training and resource information to customers. Which includes like how to ask for an accommodation, your rights to get a reasonable accommodation on the job, and those kinds of things. But we are in partnership with Equip to make a digital toolkit for customers. But I'm happy to like talk to you after this session on if that's like matching.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Director Borowitz. Thank you, Ingrid Halverson. And I just want to be transparent. I did send Bureau Chief Borowitz our resolutions that were passed last year regarding accessible file formats from BBS, as well as the client handbook. So I wanted to make this convention aware of that. I smell food, I'm hearing dishes. So I think that we should adjourn.